This week on Behind the Pulpit, we welcome on two longtime NBC personalities, the Eucharist brothers.
No, it's an ongoing joke that people know me as Tim's brother, not Ben. And then he's always said that I'm the favorite child, so that's kind of his thing.
Yep. Can talk to Don and Robin about that one, no.
Together, they will conquer many topics, like why Aaron Judge is getting booed.
I'm going to air a grievance. I am a Yankee fan. My least favorite fan base on the planet are Yankee fans. Gerrit Cole can come back from injury and give up three home runs, and they'd boo him, and he just won the Cy Young. So,
weed, and what is that about?
The other thing that 420 is known for is that it's the—is it a national holiday now? National Pot Day?
It's universal. It might even be like transgalactic or something like that.
We have two guest book recommendations, and we dive in to Pastor Dave's love of charts.
We decided we're going to be doing a new segment called There's a Chart for That.
That's right,
it's
baby.
Segment. There's a chart for that.
There is, and there always is.
And finally, we dive in on Pastor Dave's sermon that was a banger.
I'm not comfortable with these banger words.
There's that Gen Z.
And of course, we ended off with a theology sprint.
But in Romans 1, where Paul is specifically talking about judgment and our sin, there's an element of when it says God gave them up, at some point his patience, his forbearance has fallen away, and he's basically just giving us what we want.
C.S. Lewis famously said, there are two kinds of people in the end. There are those who say to God, thy will be done, and there are those to whom God says, thy will be done.
Wherever you may be watching or listening to this, we hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of Behind the Pulpit.
Behind the Pulpit. See, that's how you do it, Pastor Dave. We're so glad you're joining us today. My name is Bob Erbig. I am one of your hosts here for Behind the Pulpit. It is 4:21. We're going to be talking about 4:20 later in our In the News segment. And of course, every week, as every week it happens, I am joined by my esteemed colleague, looking very, very distinguished over there. Pastor Dave, introduce yourself.
Good to be here with you guys. Dave Henschel, right. Pastor of Spiritual Formation and Care. It's a subject that was on my mind today
because of
the nature of the scripture, but always good to be with you. The jacket comes out on Sundays, typically.
It does. Before we introduce our guests, can we have a little debate over I'm wearing my corduroy. I moved corduroy last year, and you're going, is that silk? What is that? What are you wearing? It's got some kind of cotton. What is it?
I believe this is a cotton polyester blend, but I have to check the tag.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, we have some very special guests today, and you have actually of YouTube fame now. We just dropped a video this week on Christianese and how to speak to people, and we have these new social media influencers with us today. Brothers Eucharis, the Brothers Eucharis right here.
What's going on, everyone?
Introduce yourselves.
I am on the camera. I'm usually behind it.
But so this is my gorgeous brother, Ben. This is what Tim looks like.
I'm Ben, formerly known as Tim's younger brother.
Are you now his older brother? Did you all of a sudden age?
No. Formally.
Like, Tim also, got younger, you got older. Is that what it was?
No, it's an ongoing joke that people know me as Tim's brother, not Ben.
Oh, okay.
I've always said that.
A lot of people have those issues.
And then he's always said that I'm the favorite child, so that's kind of his thing.
Yep. You can talk to Don and Robin about that one, no.
He now has his established identity. Benjamin does mean son of my right hand.
It does. So, thank you. Look, so why are you sitting on his left?
Well,
he should be on his right.
Should we? I'm ambidextrous.
No, you should be on Tim's right hand because it means son of my right hand.
Do you want to switch seats right
That's
now?
A lot of work.
Let's do it right now. First time ever. Switch seats. All right.
Chinese fire drill.
There we go. Hey, you heard it here, folks. First time we're switching seats live on air on Behind the Pulpit. Pastor Dave, what do you think about this?
It's not that easy to switch seats.
I know.
Right now.
I just called a switcheroo, as they say, back in the day.
So now the problem is I have Ben's notes, and Ben's got my notes.
That's exactly. I want to see what happens now. There we go. Now, son of my right now. Of your right hand. There you go. All right.
As opposed to Timothy, who is called my son by the Apostle Paul in his letters.
That's true.
I don't know what Timothy means.
True.
I always forget, but I have two more books than Ben.
I am going to look it up right now.
Oh, I meant like in the Bible, too.
Oh, that's
I'm
going to
ask
too.
The Google.
Ben's got more tribes.
The Google
than me.
Machine. Meaning of Timothy. Timothy means
It's a good one, I think.
Meaning in the origin. Honoring God. Honoring God.
I try to do my
there
best.
There you go. The one who honors God. There we go. Awesome. Mm. All right. Now that we're set, Pastor Dave. All right.
We're going to have more mooing today than ever any podcast.
Tim is a, he is a mooer. Yes. All right.
It's gotten contagious in the youth group.
I think we should all do it together. Three, two, one. That's
going to the beginning.
That's getting
right?
clipped there right there. Can't wait.
It's a clipper. All right. Well, maybe before we go on, this is the time in the show where we do the guest spotlight. So why don't you tell folks who you are and what ministries you're involved with, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So I'll start, and then I'll let Ben explain the thing that we do together. My name is Tim Utkus. This is my brother, Ben. I'm the production manager here at Millington Baptist Church. I get us ready for Sunday mornings. I usually produce things like Behind the Pulpit and Fresh Wave. I got my boy Caleb back there this week. Thank you, Caleb.
Caleb McLaughlin.
Is he going to do the intro this week that
Caleb
you're so
will
well
be,
for?
Well, people will have already seen, if you're a viewer or listener, that Caleb did in fact do the intro.
He did. Are you sure? So you're taking us into the
future.
This is
a prophetic moment.
Yeah, well, we are in the future.
This is a determinate. This is God's foreknowledge.
This already, but not yet.
Are you
prophesying
right
this?
No, I'm seeing into the past.
it's like the prophet Daniel.
So, I'm involved with a lot of the like production, whether it's Sunday mornings, other things like that, special events, making sure lights are working, sounds are being making sounds. Things like that. I also serve as a youth leader with my brother. My brother and I grew up here. I'm currently 25 years at Millington Baptist Church.
Whoa!
Ben is you're 22 years. And grew
long,
up in the
longest MBC attender right here at the table.
At the table.
At the table
would be me.
I've been here 13 years.
Yeah,
so you almost doubled my time here.
Been quite a ride. I grew up in that nursery and in Sunday school.
Little footprints.
Ben and I are alumni. Coming back in youth group, and then Ben and I, along with our friends James and John Cinello, recently started another venture. Ben, if you'd like to tell them about that.
Yeah, so we started a group called Band of Brothers. Tim and I were on a hike a few weeks ago, and we're just talking, and forget which one of us it was.
That is a great graphic right there.
Yeah, Mark did a really nice job
with
that graphic.
Is that you guys in the picture? Who's that?
Those are the brothers. In the band.
Wait, is it a real picture that he like stylized?
I think he did some AI work.
He did. With that. Okay. Not real.
Those are the brothers. Yes. So we were on the hike, and one of us, I forget which one, was like, "Hey, how cool would it be if we got like a group of high school boys out here just for a hike?" It started as just an idea for a hike, and then it turned into, "Let's just start a group where high school boys can come together outside of a youth group environment, just in their own kind of circle, to have fellowship, pray together, worship together, talk about life together," because we see a lot on retreats when we actually have more time and more time together for small groups and stuff, that the high school boys always have a really, really close personal relationship.
Cool.
You were fall retreat. I'm on the middle school end. If you want to explain the prayer time you guys had on the fall retreat, that was really cool. I walked in on that.
Yeah, this is something that we actually had our first meeting. Caleb was there on Thursday, and something that we did on the fall retreat was we got all of our high school boys together, and we just took time for people to share if they need prayer, and they shared what they need prayer about, and then we prayed for that person on the spot, and whoever wanted to pray did. And that's something that we started, and we want to do at our meetings, where we send our prayer time. People have the opportunity to talk about things that they may be struggling with or going through, and then they voice that, and then we pray for them on the spot. And we spent a bulk of our time doing that, and I thought it was really refreshing and really awesome, and I think it's a really cool way for us to, you know, get closer as a group of young men.
Appreciate your leadership here, guys. Do you guys serve in these roles with joy, or is this a matter of disdain that you really would rather be doing something else?
Yeah, I was really battling with that question
before. I hate this role, man.
It's really wrestling.
Terrible.
With it, you know?
Yeah, no. It's lots of joy. It's great. It's really great. It's been such a blessing. Yeah.
And periodically, they'll get on the stage and do some announcement for
us. We've gotten a lot of compliments,
right.
And I really appreciate people. They're always like, they see us and they're like, "Oh, we love when you guys go up on the stage and do the announcements."
Do they do that? You guys, just go do your thing.
People I've never talked to before will just come up to me like, "You did great." I'm like, "Thanks."
I shook someone's hand today.
That's great.
I said, "Good morning." And they said, It's like, it's catching on. This is for you guys. So you get more interaction on Sunday mornings.
Well, be careful. The more you get up there, we might start getting questions for you on the Behind the Pulpit question.
Oh, I just line, I'm so. Just the producer. This is just this is new.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here today. Feel free to participate in all elements of the show, as Tim usually does. But now they're going to see your face, Tim. So just be careful when
not just me saying. This That's week right. on Behind the Pulpit, I'm actually participating this time.
All right.
That's pretty different.
It is. It's
different role.
This side. All right. Well, we're actually filming this right after the worship service. And the other line that Tim likes to say is during worship, he often goes up into the rafters. Like literally he climbs up there and is hanging.
It's like a rope.
Floating.
There's like a rope up by the production and you just sort of like make your
levitating.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's
no,
a levitation.
No tools needed.
Levitation, yeah. if you will.
Well, that opening song I wasn't familiar with, and I looked it up. It's a Shane and Shane song. I guess mm-hmm. I assume fairly new, but that was
if you haven't listened to that
album, something
it's
else.
Incredible. It's all
really what's the name of the album? Name it.
It's Shane and Shane's Songs of Praise, Scripture, and Spirituality. It's something like that.
There you go.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Something super
I
complicated.
Tell you. It's I was got, impressed that you remembered that.
It's got some a couple like I would call them bangers, as Gen Z would say. But
I
a
actually lot of saw
be careful,
Shane
that can
Shane.
Mean a few different things right there, Tim.
I saw Shane and Shane do that song live last summer. They were in
really?
Ocean Grove in July.
Okay.
And the place, you know, they have that big pavilion auditorium, great auditorium there. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful time of worship and good song, good choice, but just one of those things that takes you into the rafters.
Do you
yeah.
remember,
for sure.
Do you remember the name? Let me look.
We had a debate, up. John Bonaventura and I, this week about one line says, we will be with you again.
I heard about
yes.
this.
And
yeah.
we were going back and forth. Is this appropriate? Because those of us who have never been with Christ, people can read into that
right.
like, were we in some sort of pre-existent state with God back in our eternity past, and now we're coming back? Like, there's a weird reincarnation type of thinking there, and I'm like, I don't think Shane and Shane meant that. So
yeah, I can't picture that.
Really, you have to take it as corporate humanity once walked with God in the cool of the day.
Ah,
that's good.
That's a good
we
theological.
As corporate humanity,
that's good theology
will
right there,
once
Pastor
again
Dave.
Walk with God, and we will be with you again,
unhindered.
It's a
in
corporate
his, unhindered
moment.
In His presence.
Right? Mm. Either that, or you could take it
that,
as
that is a. Mm,
yeah, right there. Yeah. No, that's. He also said that you sent him about like 12 Bible verses, explaining
I'm
it
sure.
as well.
Do not sure ask me a theological question unless you really want to get into it, because you're going to get a long text.
Do not
a long
ask
answer,
a question you do not want
several
to know the
links,
answer to.
Stuff to read and videos. So
love
this
it.
is the way it is.
He said a 3-page resource list on this.
Hey, I'm glad you. I'm suddenly awake now. I now have lots of thoughts. Here we go. Let's talk.
And this Greek over here was the singular aorist pluperfect, you know.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway. All right. So anyway, the song is called "You've Already Won," and it is, as Tim said, it'll take you into the rafters.
Glorious.
Let's just put it that way. All right. Okay. So we are on to our next segment, our famous segment called "In the News." All right. So. We have a couple things to talk about today. As I alluded to before, it is April the 21st, which means yesterday was April 20th. And for those of you who don't know, that has it's a significant day, 420, for a couple reasons. Number one, Tim and Ben were at the Yankee game, and apparently Aaron Judge got... Okay,
just,
sorry.
Just Tim.
Just Tim. Just Timothy was at the Yankee game, and Aaron Judge got booed, right?
He was booed.
This is not common, right? This is new?
Have you not...
This is pretty common.
This is the thing.
Recent.
I'm going to air a grievance.
this is straight into the Michael K. show.
This is a safe place.
I am a Yankee fan. My least favorite fan base on the planet are Yankee fans. The best player on the team strikes out a couple times.
More than Philadelphia fans?
The Philadelphia fans.
I'm going to stir up some controversy.
I'm
Philadelphia fans.
I'm with Bob on this one.
I've been in Philadelphia. They give you the business.
They have their teams back. At least they have their players back. Garrett Cole can come back from injury and give up 3 home runs, and they'd boo him, and he just won the Cy Young. So I don't understand.
I heard about this in the news, the booing for Judge. Is it multiple days of strikeouts? He's doing well.
He's been slumping a little bit.
Slump.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You go up there and do it, man.
Do you know how hard it is to hit a fastball on a curveball? You know how hard it is to hit a curveball? Like go like a real like an 80-mile-an-hour curveball,
and then be 6 foot
that's
eight,
really
275 pounds, and hit it 500 feet.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah. Take that. There you go.
60 something times in a season.
62 set the record. Yeah, American the record. League.
Yeah. There you go.
I could see like if he's not showing up to the game and like wanting to be benched for too much rest, or he was like, you know, I'm a fan. I'm paying for a ticket. Like I want to see you play, but he's out there at the batter's box swinging, trying hard, like. Mm-hmm. You have a responsibility as a Yankees Bronx Bomber fan to like cheer your guy on.
What are
you
doing? Yeah. And they're doing really well. They're going to lose at some point.
So. I don't advocate the boo.
No, it's not right, man.
That's a T-shirt.
I'm with Tim.
I don't advocate the boo.
It's Aaron like we're copycatting Philadelphia. It's like we want to be Philadelphia.
Aaron
now?
Judge is a fellow image bearer.
That's right.
There you go. That's remember there's that. The Christian worldview angle on this. Don't boo your fellow image bearers,
Mr. Judge. If you're watching this program. You've been given some love.
All right, there you go. All right, that actually wasn't the in the news thing I wanted to bring up. So let's. So we got our Aaron Judge moment. 420 is historically kind of an infamous day because there's been a number of. Well, I should go back to when I was in high school. That was when the Columbine shooting happened, Columbine High School. I was a junior. And ever since then, people are on high alert on that day because they're concerned about copycat school shootings. And the reason that happened on that day was because it's also Hitler's birthday. So it's quite infamous from that angle. And it's, of course, very sad whenever a shooting happens. And unfortunately, in recent years, there's been quite a bit of that. The other thing that 420 is known for is that it's the is it a national holiday now? National Pot Day?
It's universal. It might even be like transgalactic or something like that. So 420 is the number that people who smoke marijuana use to have their code language of it's time to use
they
cannabis.
They cut school. They leave.
Yeah. So it was not just an anniversary on 420. It was a canniversary. It's been the 2 year canniversary in the state of New Jersey for having made recreational marijuana legal in our state. And so there was celebration in that there used to be like 30 dispensaries in New Jersey. And now this year they now have opened like 130 more marijuana dispensaries in New Jersey. So those who are in favor of this legislation are celebrating the victory of the happy canniversary, 2 years.
Happy canniversary.
Of course, you know, I have some problems with this. I don't think that we should be pursuing this. We've put together a position paper about it in our church, and we don't think this is really what Christ has for you. This is a way to not be sober-minded, so to speak, and not really grasp all that God has for you in life, and sometimes medicate and deal with pain in a maladaptive coping strategy that's not really healthy for you. So I have some opinions about that, but it was in the news, and certain people were celebrating.
So can we talk about it for just a minute? Because we do have an elder position paper on that, and it's a good way of parsing out. So it is legal, you know, to smoke marijuana is legal now, recreationally and whatever. And yet we think that's not a good thing. So we put together a position paper on that. Actually, if you also serve with kids and teens, we have a family ministry covenant, which also prohibits that. Could you say a bit more about the position paper? Because I think you had a hand in crafting specifically why it's why it's a problem from our perspective.
Yeah. So from the Christian worldview perspective, you would take a theological principle that talks about intoxication with other substances, though there's verses about alcohol. There is verses that speak to other substances that people would use to escape reality that the Bible, I think, prohibits. So you take that principle about prohibiting intoxication, and then you apply it to different modern-day sort of pharmacological drug uses. And so we would say this is not God's best for you for a variety of reasons. Could be physical health reasons. It could be just simply being alert and ready to serve God with all of your mind. But we don't think that this is a healthy choice recreationally.
Yeah. So people could say, well, I drink wine recreationally, but there's a point where you can drink that without being intoxicated.
Right, which is not the case with marijuana.
Right.
There is no moderate use of marijuana. People simply smoke that, not for the taste, not because they, you know, appreciate the fruit of the vine like some people do with wine. They smoke weed or they eat pot brownies or they pursue those gummy things or whatever to get high.
Those gummy things.
I don't know. They've got a bunch of stuff now. I'm not really aware of all the ways in which you can ingest the substance into your body, but there's a lot of ways.
We actually have an older Underground Sessions podcast we did where we talked about that
way back when.
So maybe we can actually link that. Did that on Zoom.
Yeah,
back in
Pastor
the day.
Barnabas Sprinkle.
That's
and
right.
His
he wrote
book,
a book
Jesus
about
and
that.
Mary Jane. We talked That's about right. that way back in the day. So
we got to bring Mary Jane back.
You've heard
right?
of the gold rush. He talked about the green rush and all these entrepreneurial types
it
that are
true.
Trying to capitalize
it
on
is
this.
True. Now, I went to Denver Seminary, so I lived in Colorado for a number of years. But Colorado was like
pioneer.
People would come there for the weed.
I couldn't believe how many dispensaries I saw when we went to Colorado recently.
It's they don't call it the Mile High City for nothing. I'll put it that way. But okay, one more question. What about medicinal marijuana? We have a statement on that too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did not take a firm position against a doctor prescribing marijuana for medical reasons. So there may be people in certain situations of chronic pain or other things, and the Elder Board didn't feel comfortable speaking into that. So. You know, of course, there's such a thing as pain medication. So if that's something that your doctor thinks is necessary, we just chose not to speak on it. It's not like we had a position for or against. We just chose to let you speak to your own physician about that matter.
Okay, good. So, Ben, Tim, any thoughts on weed?
It's funny because I actually do.
The title for the show. Any thoughts on weed?
I do have
it's
an opinion.
420. Right?
I actually have two separate opinions.
Ooh, okay, here we go.
Weed, and I'll
this
give you...
This might be
you,
a viral video right here.
I'll tell you what I mean by that. So, I put myself in, like, two frames of mind. I have the frame of mind as a Christian, and this is the opinion that I hold to, but I also have an opinion as someone who is just, like, a U.S. citizen, for, like, just a secular U.S. citizen. So, my opinion on weed and its production and its use and being able to sell it differs... Than my Christian opinion, but I hold to my Christian opinion, which is going along with the being sober-minded, you know, we shouldn't be doing it. I think governmentally, is that a word, Bob?
I think so.
Federally? I think federally yeah. the government could
from a governmental perspective.
Yeah, I think it could benefit from the fiscally from the from marijuana, but as a Christian. I would not affirm its use. So that would be my thought.
There's a chart for that. There's a chart that you could make a chart about what's illegal versus what's immoral. Like, so something can be illegal and immoral.
Right. There are
or
some
illegal,
things that are immoral that are legal.
Right.
Case in point, abortion, that we would say is immoral, but yet it is legal in some cases.
But in that case, we would legislate for
legislation
that would make it also against the law.
Yeah. So well, I thought you were saying just currently there are some things that are immoral, but are that we would say are immoral, but that are technically legal.
Right.
Well, like we would say we shouldn't smoke pot, but it is technically legal
in
the
U.S.
Yeah. In New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We had a guest speaker a couple weeks ago, Christopher Yuan, who spent some time in prison because of his dealings with marijuana.
Metric tons worth.
Yeah. He had quite a bit. But then he turned to the audience and was like, it's legal now, right?
That was quite the moment, right?
It was kind of funny. Yeah. Times change, but the Lord used that in his life to bring him to faith. So
there you go.
Ben, you have any thoughts on the devil's lettuce?
I'm kind of hand in hand on what you were saying about different,
there we go.
Governmental versus spiritually. I have seen marijuana do a lot of damage to certain people in my life, so I'm never really... been for it necessarily, but I do see its benefits in an economical sense. So,
so you guys are taking more of a libertarian position on that, as opposed to a more hard conservative position.
That would,
in terms of how it's impacting society.
If we really want to discuss politics here, I guess all so. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's going to make the segment a little bit too long. So let's cut it off there. And
let the record show, Pastor Dave does not neither agree or disagree with the statements that have been made on the Behind the Pulpit podcast today.
All right, we will end the In the News segment right there. So that was 420, and now we're going to move on to our other famous segment that's growing in popularity, and that is the Great Book War. And neither Dave or I have books today, but it sounds like you guys both brought books. So the brothers are gonna, Esau and Jacob right here, are gonna make a war over which book to recommend.
I don't think Ben brought
Tim.
I have a book, I just didn't bring it.
You think you should talk about it though, because I think
Bible,
you've
though.
Really been
I
enjoying
it.
read this. Yeah, so I went to Passion Conference in January, and one of the speakers there, his name is Jonathan Pecluda, JP for short. He's very popular amongst young adults. He writes a book called Why Do I Do the Things I Don't Want to Do? I think that's how it's titled. And he basically jumps into his personal life, his background, talks about a few sins that they talk about in the Bible versus a few sins that he considers new, like new aged sin, and breaks it down biblically and on a personal level. And I recently just finished that, been really good. So that would be my recommendation.
What's the title? What's the name of it again?
Why do I do what I don't want to do by Jonathan Pecluda.
Ben, you might have suggested a book that Bob has never read. Not many people.
That's 2 weeks in a row. Not only have I not read it, I have not heard of it.
It's geared towards the young adult.
I don't even know what show we're on right now.
What I Don't Want to Do, Replace Deadly Vices with Life-Giving Virtues. Right, very catchy title. How 10 Biblical Virtues Can Help You Get Unstuck and Overcome the Cycle of Self-Destructive Bad Habits. Just came out last month. All right, we'll have to go look it up. Tim, what do you got?
Good job, Ben.
Good job, man. All right, so let's see. We're going to vote on which book is going to be number one recommendation.
This book is by a friend of our YouTube channel, Dr. Paul Gould, A Good and True Story. I think he wrote this pretty recently. I just started. I've only read the introduction and the first chapter.
So when you say friend of our YouTube channel, you mean he's been on?
He has been on. You can go look.
Underground
Sessions podcast. We also just released a video of he was here at our Contend conference, and he spoke and was a panelist. You can go check that out as well.
His keynote just dropped on the channel. You can also link it. Link it right there.
It could be one of the links at the end of the video. It could be that one. Or we could link it in the video right here.
Like, you could.
On the little tag.
Like, just click right.
The tag.
Click
right here. That's on this side. Right here. The purple thing.
There you go.
I think it's right here.
Yeah, well, what I find side note. What I find funny is people often say that like, right here, but yet it's over here.
Yeah. I think it's over here. Okay. I think if I had the purple one right here. Anyway, so he writes this book. And again, I haven't read all of this yet, just the intro and the beginning. But I think this is a really cool book because he sort of takes, essentially he's trying to, you know, say why. He explains the story of the universe, and he starts it off in like a neutral set, and he goes through, I think it's 7 or 11 different aspects of, yeah, he goes through the universe, life, species, humans, morality, meaning, happiness, pain, love, beauty, and then finally religion. And he looks at it, it looks like, from both the non-religious story and then the religious story, and he goes through at the end and tries to... you've read this. Am I doing a good job of explaining?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. About which one makes more sense. But I will say, Paul, I hope you're listening, because I ordered this off Amazon, and I noticed as I was trying to read this book, the printer...
there's no words in the book.
There was a little bit of an issue here.
Wait, there was multiple ones? No!
It's not all the time, but you know, I think that fixed itself at the end here. But at the beginning of the book,
okay, that's not good.
So Paul, you're a friend of the channel.
Talk to your
here.
Publisher.
That's
right there.
Supposed to trigger reflection. Like, yeah. Oh, no words. All right, let's reflect.
Well, when I was leafing through the book originally,
those weren't intentionally blank notes. Pages.
Yeah. I thought it was because you know he's a philosopher, and the philosopher's
he's
like
playing games.
I'm wondering
with
if
on
he's
the last
just like,
said, on the next page, write down your thoughts.
Take your notes. You know, take this time to just ponder. And then I start reading it, and I'm getting to chapter 2, and chapter 2 starts, and I'm like, where's the chapter 2 page? No, they just never printed it. So I'm just going to email this podcast to Dr. Paul Gould, I'm just going to leave this right here and see if he watches it, and maybe I'll get a new book with a nice little...
You're going to email him the link to this, say, email and say, Paul, somewhere in this episode we mentioned you. So
we gave you a shout out in the episode today. I hope you enjoy the episode. But I would also on just the beginning of this book, I would recommend it to someone who's wrestling with.
Yeah, it's good. It's also good on audiobook too if you want to listen on audiobook.
Just for
job.
The record right now, this is the second grievance that Mr. Yukas has aired on the podcast.
You are very surly
so
guest right
one
now.
One more grievance, and we are going to have to come up
it's
with
like
a new segment called
like
Airing of the Grievances segment.
We put him behind. We put him in front of the camera, and things change.
Listen, man, you give me a platform.
I got some problems with you people. Let's talk about it.
It's Festivus for the rest of us, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Good book recommendation, though.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So that was the end of that segment. Now, we got a new segment that began last week in like behind the scenes discussion. I don't know if I recommended it or
began
Tim recommended
30
it.
30 years ago in my
okay,
heart.
So, well, okay, but the segment didn't. If you want to go back into the recesses of time before the foundations of the world, God ordained that this would be Dave's segment right here. So last week we talked about it was well known that
I just cannot wait.
The tears of Christian
chomping at the bit
beliefs.
Here.
And I sort of created this, but I don't do the chart thing like Dave does. I just kind of write it out. So we decided we're going to be doing a new segment called There's a Chart for That.
That's right,
it's
baby.
Be Dave's, yeah. Dave's segment, There's a Chart for That.
There is. And there always is. I was just thinking of one about the marijuana thing. Legal but immoral, moral but illegal. My brain thinks
you
in
can
charts.
See, you're talking with Dave and you can see the wheels turning. He's making a chart as he's talking to
That's
you.
That's how my brain thinks.
He's putting you in a box right away.
So for our audience, last week I kind of had the impromptu segment where I went through and I gave all of the things that we could tier. The episode hadn't been done filming for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, group text, and there's a chart about the issues that he talked about it. He's like, I have a chart for this on my computer where I...
That's right, baby.
All of these, and he sent it to
you
us.
You need a chart. You need that. You need to create your own. You
need a visual.
Yeah.
There's a chart for that.
Although...
put it on a t-shirt.
Is there a chart for needing charts?
That's right. Chart, like... Give us examples of your charts.
Wow. All right. So here's the example for today. There's always a chart for that. Caleb, if you wouldn't mind, I believe you have our chart for
today. Can you give
today.
A definition of a chart? What exactly is a chart?
A chart is a tool that has categories that help our brain to sort things out that would otherwise be a big mess of spaghetti. So okay. The chart
have
for today...
Have you spoken with your wife about this segment yet?
No, but she's not going to be happy about this. So let's just keep this our little secret and we'll see how we go. All right. So this chart has to do with the difference between shallow repentance and deepening repentance. So you can see on the left-hand side, shallow repentance is our usual way of saying, you know, sorry, but it doesn't really cost us much. And then deepening repentance is reflective of the lifestyle Jesus calls us to. So let's compare and contrast, right? On the left, I'm only sorry for what I do. On the right, I'm sorry for who I am. On the left, I confess after I've sinned, only after. On the right, I'm continually repentant, right? Like it's a lifetime of repentance. On the left, I focus on my behavior and desire moral reformation. On the right, I focus on my disposition and desire spiritual transformation. On the left, I want a quick resolution so that you'll get off my back, Tim. On the right, I focus on my disposition and desire spiritual transformation. I want deeper insight, right? So that I need you to hang in there with me. On the left, I can't believe I'm like that. Let's not talk about it anymore, Bob. Let's just change the subject, man. On the right, I can't believe I'm like that. We need to talk about it more. On the left, I have an explanation, Ben. I can explain. On the right, I'm sick of my explanations. On the left, I repent by trying to do it right next time. On the right, I repent that I don't have my own righteousness and trust Christ to be my righteousness. On the left, I'm sorry because I got found out. Bob caught me. On the right, I'm thankful that you brought this to my attention.
Thank you for working me into your chart right
Bob,
there.
Thank you for bringing this to my attention. Last, I'm sorry I offended you. Finally, I'm sorry that my sinful heart is so offensive. Pretty good chart, right?
It's talking about the repentance of attrition versus contrition.
It is.
Yeah,
that came up in the message today.
It did.
And,
it did.
Somebody
it
after
up.
The first service was like, hey, thank you so much. And they texted me that chart around 10:30 today. So fresh off the press.
Fresh chart.
Love it.
What do you guys think about those two kinds of repentance? Any thoughts that are coming out of the chart segment here today?
I think that's your classic, just when you're a kid. Like you think you put it like, yeah, your hand in the cookie jar. I'm sorry. Well, why are you sorry? Are you sorry because you got caught? That's why. Heard that a couple times in my childhood.
Right. Ben, we got to do some deep therapeutic work with Tim here. He's got some memories.
Yeah.
Heard that a couple times.
We should get our parents on this podcast one time. Talk about it.
That's okay.
I'll bet. So does your wife not
Speaking
like
of
it?
Your parents, I heard Dad had something to say last week about your chart. You were doing the tiers and the top 20 gray areas of disputable issues, and Dad's like, hey, what about...
So my dad...
Was there a topic that we didn't cover that he wanted to hear about?
Yes.
Okay.
He's like... Dad noticed. He's like, you know how you guys are a Baptist church? How come you didn't bring up baptism? I was like, oh, that's a good point. Just ChatGPT didn't give me that one.
Oh. Well, that would be probably a tier one issue, yeah. Though. Yeah. Just hence why we're Baptists.
Don, good point, man. Thanks for keeping us honest. We'll try to get to baptism on another show. I think it's not a salvation issue, but, you know, I think probably more tier two because there's practical implications for how are you going to practice this? Are you going to christen infants or are you going to just be credo Baptist like the Bible and baptize?
See how we worked that in? You worked that in there?
He's right, got a lot of really interesting thoughts on that because he grew up Catholic and he became Protestant. Sorry guys, I'm good. So he has a lot of he thinks deeply about things like this.
So he's covered on both sides.
You could have a good conversation.
Well, so that's another issue though. Catholics would say that baptism is salvific. It's necessary for salvation. Whereas those that baptize infants on the Protestant side wouldn't say that. Mm. Yeah, there's a whole lot of different nuances with it.
Now, question
for them, it's tier one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had grandparents coming to me going, I need you to baptize my grandchild and you know, literally shaking because they think this means if I don't do this, their grandchild's not going to be in heaven one day. Like, for them, it's tier one. So I understand that. We don't teach that. We teach it's tier two. We teach it's a profession of faith. But people categorize different things differently, which is why you need charts. This is why you need charts.
There you go.
They're important.
The technical term is baptismal regeneration.
Yeah.
There you go.
Question for you guys. What would you say if someone was baptized as a baby as a Catholic, but later became a full blown born again believer and was saved by, you know, Jesus? Would you still affirm that they would have to do a believer's baptism later in life?
Yes, because we believe baptism happens after faith, not before faith. And so we would want them really not to be baptized again. We'd want them to be baptized for the first time because that's what baptism is, according to our belief system. So it has to be three things. It has to be at the right time. It has to be for the right reason. It has to be in the right way. So the right time is after faith, not before. Mm-hmm. The right reason is because you think this is a profession of faith. You don't think this is something that saves you. And the right way, we're kind of sticky about this, is through immersion. So we believe that it's the best picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, so we practice baptism by immersion. So those three criteria are essential, and this is why we practice baptism.
Yeah, as way of example, too, I grew up not Catholic. I grew up Reformed Church in America, so that's more Presbyterian. So I was sprinkled as a baby, and I got dunked when I was about 22 after I became a Baptist later in life. So, yes.
Good question, so Don.
Question for you, back to the chart thing. Does your wife not like it because you're always putting her on the chart somewhere?
Oh.
Julie, there's a chart for that.
Yeah, so, you know, nobody knows you like your wife. And after 26 years of marriage, she's
like, Dave, I got a chart for you.
She knows that her husband is a teacher. And it's a fine line between teaching and preaching. Okay, so it's like there's a seesaw with information and motivation there. With one becomes teaching, one becomes preaching, and sometimes I turn sermons into lectures in a way that she doesn't think is like useful. So, well, they're useful, but not the right means of presentation for the setting. So she's like, the chart makes it feel like we're in class. I need my notebook. I need my pencils. You want me to like highlight this? Like, I just want to.
As I want the preaching motivation.
I
want to
be like Tim
right
here and just have my Bible open and just hear the word. I want to be like Ben here, and I don't necessarily want to be taking a test on this. I want to be exhorted. So she's helpful to me in that way. Okay. So I find that.
So
actually,
the chart in particular makes it feel that way.
It does for her.
Okay.
And so I joke around with her about this, and it's funny. We can have fun with this, but I actually find it to be rather instructive when she is helping me see. I've got the balance of the I and the M not quite right, the information motivation. So
there you go.
Thank you, Julie.
Awesome.
Always.
Hey, shout out to your wife. There you go. Send her wisdom. The link to this episode and say you're mentioned somewhere in here so yes. you can find
it. It's like an Easter egg. You can't say where.
That's yeah. true. That's true. Well, anyway, we're going to keep the segment. There's a chart for that. I'm sure it will come back up. And
no pressure. We're going to come up with a chart every week. Are you guys going to ever come up with charts yourselves, or is this strictly on Dave?
I can find charts.
Been known to make charts, although less frequently and more simple than yours.
Defensive. Hey!
I've done a chart.
I know what charts
periodically.
Are. I can make these too. You know, you're sometimes not the I'll only one who knows how to make
like,
a chart. Man.
I like the quadrants, man. I like to put things in quadrants, axis. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to these quadrants. How about you, Tim?
Yeah, I love a good quadrant.
All right.
Like a four-square
game. All
right,
so how about we move on to the theology portion of the show right now? So I heard there was a question that got written in, and then we'll do a little bit of a sermon debrief with Pastor Dave.
This question, we didn't have a question submitted on Behind the Pulpit, but there was someone who offered a question during the live stream of the service last week, so during Pastor Bob's sermon, and I thought it could be interesting to be answered, so I put it up.
All right, so I'm watching online and understand the message. I agree that we need conviction or faith as I listen. I wonder if the word division could have been better translated as separation. Well, that's a good question. The word divide was used because that is what is in the text. If you want to go to the Greek, the word that's translated as divide is diamerismos. So that means disunity or dissension. So, I guess it might be more of a semantical thing. Separation could be used, but I use the word divide because it is what's in verse 51. I tell you, I don't come to bring peace, rather division. And then, divided is used over and over again within the passage. That's why the word was used there. I don't know, Dave, do you see a difference between separation and division?
They seem like synonyms in some ways to me. I can see why the questioner is wondering about the choice. And all English translations are, in a sense, interpretations. So I'm not sure what's behind the question. Maybe for the questioner, the word division feels harsh and cold. And then the word separation just feels pragmatic and practical. I'm not sure, but I think behind it is essentially the same concept that we're taking things and we're putting in different categories, kind of like making a chart. We're like putting something on one side and putting other things on the other side. See how it's useful?
Yeah, it is.
I love charts.
I will just say, though, I mean, this passage is a red letter passage. These are the words of Jesus, and that's the word that was used. So that's why I chose to use that.
Good question. Thank you guys for always submitting those. We'll do our best to answer them when they come.
All right.
And the toboggan continues to go down the mountain, and Bob is at the front seat.
We're pivoting. We're moving back and forth. We're going up the side. We just came around a turn.
Well, watch out. There's
a lake.
And
now we're about to go down the hill as we start talking about Pastor Dave's sermon. All right. So, Pastor Dave, today we are in Luke 13. By the way, Noah did a great job of highlighting Act 2.
This, oh, my gosh.
Act 3, I should say. This is the end of Act 3 of our Luke series.
That fired me up.
Whoa. Dude, he had your whiteboard on fire.
He did, and then he was putting it behind that waltzy music. It was very, very artistic and
we got
aesthetically
a lot of
pleasing.
Things going on here in the video editing department of Millington Baptist
Noah
Church.
Noah Graves.
I don't know where he found all the B-roll footage. That was pretty impressive.
Dude, this guy has gone through like 15 different websites for B-roll footage. This guy is the king of B-roll. I only really use B-roll for when I make the intro videos for the Walker videos, and then it's just like...
Talk about division. He had that line
on
fire.
It was a crisp line.
It was.
People are watching that going, I got to go back and watch that sermon with the whiteboard.
Did that actually
happen?
Bob
lit the whiteboard on fire and then made a cross out of it. You had like the Sword of Zorro there, man. You were just like...
That's incredible.
Whiteboard.
Yes.
Thank you, Noah.
It was wonderful. So anyway, that we're at the end of Act 3. By the way, Dave and I have spoken, and we were trying to come up with a summer series, and we couldn't. And so we just decided we're going to continue with Luke until the end of the summer.
We're just diving into the Gospels right now.
Well, you know, we decided we're coming. So the next segment, Act 4, is going to be basically parables. Very parable-heavy, Luke 14 to 19. So we don't want to skip over them. We want to dive into the parables. So we're going to extend that, and then...
Tim can't help it. I think that was exactly a quote from the Christianese video.
That
we're
going
to dive
what
into
was
the parables.
It was, I think it was one of Ben's things right now. Just like,
correct me here. What should I have said?
We're just going to descend into the Lord's parables.
Ascend.
Oh, there it is. Look at that.
There it is. Go check it out. That face, I can see just happening all the time. Anyway,
Ben
the parable
has the Yankees
section...
Hat.
The stories with Jesus is going to be through the end of June. And then the summer series will basically be Act 5, the final week of Jesus. We're going to pull that out, pull it apart. We got a couple weeks on the Olivet Discourse, week on the crucifixion, week on the resurrection. That's going to be it's going to be on fire, as they say, Pastor
Bro,
Dave.
If you thought I was excited about the new chart segment...
Wait till we do.
I am so excited about extending the Luke series past the end of June into the summer. We get to go deeper. We get to have more time in Luke. I am so happy right now about this.
I'm so fired up,
and it's going to be awesome. We get to just. I think this is a great idea. I think this is going to be wonderful.
Well,
so
good. There you go. Well,
Luke journals,
give you,
keep on bringing them throughout the summer.
I'm going to run out of room in this Luke journal, man.
I'm going to give you another idea that might blow your mind, Pastor Dave. I suggested when I reworked this that because we're not going to get to everything. There's going to be some things that just don't fit. I suggested we bring back Teaching Tuesdays for the summer, and we cover the shorter segments we don't get to in more devotional passages. So what do you feel about that?
I feel that you just gave me a lot more work to do.
Me too. We'll make a chart about it.
Maybe that'll be on the chopping block. That's not going to totally get us
sentence.
Through.
He just gave Pastor Dave and myself so much more work to do.
As the face goes, I am not fired about that. So maybe that might not make it
time.
Off.
I will find time. Lord help us.
It might not make it off Amen. The chopping, the cutting room floor, but that was the idea that I presented.
No,
so
we're going to do it. I'm kidding around. We're going to do it. We're going to have Teaching Tuesdays.
Also, watch the old Teaching Tuesdays, talking about the Ten Commandments of progressive Christianity.
Yeah.
That's a good plug right there.
Awesome. All right. Anyway, so Pastor Dave, you preached today Luke 13. What was going on in Luke 13?
Luke chapter 13 has a theme of change and how distinctively Christian change occurs. So we brought out some elements that are common features. I don't want to call it a formula or a recipe, but generally if you want to change something in a Christian way that's going to have lasting impact, you need these characteristics. So we talked about the importance of the importance of repentance and that as an essential start to change. We talked about organic fruitful growth like a tree that if we want to change, we want to allow the vine dresser of Christ to dig around, to fertilize, to give it time.
We love the trees around here, don't we?
We do. That's our logo. And
Dave will find a tree and use it as a metaphor.
Yep. So, I mean, Jesus talked about the parable of the spared fig tree. So this time it was Jesus, but that also fits well with how we think about spiritual formation here. We also talked about a deliverance story where Jesus looses a woman who has been crippled and bent over by the clutches of the devil. And with his power, with his hands, and with his word, he sets her free. There's a synagogue ruler that's not happy about that. And there's several Sabbath controversies that occur at this point in the Gospel of Luke. One's coming up at the beginning of chapter 14 as well. And he sets her free, and he rebukes the synagogue leader for his cold-heartedness. And then Jesus gets some questions about, is the kingdom smaller and more narrow than we originally thought? And Jesus says, yes, the door is narrow, and you need to strive to enter into it. And then he continues his way towards Jerusalem with his goal of laying down his life to die for his people. At the end of Luke 13, there is some weeping that occurs as he is lamenting the response of the Israelite people and how they really are the fig tree that's about to be cut down, and he's trying to prevent that from happening. There's the summary.
That was some good summary right there, Pastor Dave.
So you're catching on. I just want to summarize the word.
All right. Well, I will say at the beginning here, I loved the the door analogy that you used, and I was picturing somebody going to your house and ripping out your window and making another door on the side.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most common critique we get of our faith in these ex-evangelical times. Hey, you're too exclusive. Your way is too narrow. It's too judgmental. It's too divisive. It's too much separating going on here.
Too divisive, yes.
And so these are the words of Jesus. He said the door is narrow, and it's not going to be open forever. One day it'll be shut.
Interesting.
So, I love that the door analogy. It reminded me. So Ben went to the Passion Conference. I watched online. I couldn't go.
Did Ben make another door in the side of the arena?
We tore the roof off.
I forget the speaker. It might have been the same one who...
Yeah. By that guy. What's his name again?
Brandon Lake.
I saw him at the concert last night.
Yeah, it was actually at the concert last night in Brooklyn. Really good.
Last night?
Yeah. That was levitation.
Okay, so hold on. So Tim went to the Yankee game. You went to a worship service.
Both of you guys went to New York City.
What are you doing here, Ben? Making me look bad.
My goodness. All right. I see what your priorities are.
Okay. So one of the speakers, it might have been the same one who wrote the book, talked about this idea of doors in terms of talking to other people about your faith. And he gave this analogy where if you're in the airport and you're like, I got to catch a flight. I got to go back to Atlanta. And you just go and ask somebody. It's like, yeah, which gate goes to Atlanta? And the guy goes, man, you can just take any of these gates. They'll all get you there. Any single one of these gates you can go in, and then that you'll get to Atlanta.
Yeah. Right. Except you might have to go to Tokyo.
And he ends up in Abu Dhabi. This is not Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I really love this. I really like people, the idea of like, oh, you know, you always can. There's more than one door. Or there's more than one option. No, there's one door that gets you to Atlanta, or in this case, the narrow door that gets you to salvation.
That's
a good analogy. And we can waste a lot of time going to Tokyo or wherever rather than just getting in the door.
And a lot of people, I feel, will say, like you were saying, like that's not the most loving thing. Like, oh, Christianity is not very loving. You know, they're very strict, very narrow doorway. But he also, the same guy who did this talk on this, was also like, well, that's the most loving thing you could possibly do is direct someone to the only door, even though, you know, it's very exclusive. So...
That's a great point. And so it's because of love and compassion that we point people towards the narrow door. Good point there, Ben. So if you think about the concept of love, we don't have a problem with this in marriage. So our culture is pretty much okay with exclusivity being a value that's to be respected and understood in the context of a covenant that you would make between husband and wife. We haven't yet pushed back against that hard, at least. So because of that, the New Testament imagery for our relationship to Christ is a marriage image that we are in relationship to Jesus as the church. He is our husband. We are his bride. And just as you would want your husband or wife to be faithful to you in an exclusive way, and just like it's okay to expect exclusivity from your spouse, and this is a gesture of love, in that way, I think God expects his people to be faithful to him because he's been faithful to us. And so, it's narrow, just like a marriage is narrow.
Pastor Dave, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm actually going to – can I insert it in the news segment right here? Because and somebody was mentioning this
to me
the other day.
This toboggan is going back up the mountain.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody was mentioning this to me the other day, that the idea of something called polyamory is becoming more accepted within culture.
Yeah, you know what?
Or the more common vernacular is the thruples.
Yeah. It is.
So here's a couple.
It's fringy right now, but what's it going to be 10 years from now?
Fringy right now, but in 10 years, like, because we've kind of changed the definition of marriage, now it's... You watch.
In 10 years, it's not only going to be happy Canniversary, it's also going to be happy Thruple
okay.
Day.
So let me just give you a couple headlines. Here's a headline. What is a thruple, and how to know when the relationship type is right for you? That's a headline from MSN. Man with five girlfriends rejects player label, says he has time for them all. Neo, another headline. Neo discusses post-divorce polyamory, possibly inspiring new music. So it's getting within the cultural language, and we're going to see where this goes. But this is why the Christian worldview and what you're saying about marriage is ultimately, I think, what the best thing is for society. This is going to cause a lot of problems.
It is. I mean, I don't know. ask your spouse if they think that this is loving to, you know, allow others into the sacred covenant of marriage. So we understand exclusivity as a value in marriage. You know where else we understand exclusivity to be no problem? Math. Like 2 + 2 = 4. It's like not 5. It's not 3. It's like exclusively 4. Like, you know, Ben works in the HVAC industry, right? There's a certain number you need to get to when you're charging a compressor or a condenser, right? Mm-hmm. You go too far, you got problems. You don't put enough, you got problems. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all right that it's exclusively such and such pounds of pressure in the system, right? Yep. So when we do math, we got no problem with exclusivity. When we think about marriage, we got no problems with exclusivity. The other realm that has no issue is medicine. Like, okay, mm-hmm. you have cancer. Here's a treatment that works. You can do surgery, you can do chemo in this way, or you can do, you know, radiation or something like this. This will exclusively fix your problem. We want you to take this course of action. It would be very unloving for me to say, you could try that regular course of action. You could also try other things, like you could try cannabis, or you could try vitamin C or mm-hmm. something like that. It's loving to say, hey, this is the exclusive peer-reviewed remedy course of treatment for your kind of cancer. So we're going to give you the cure, and it's loving to do that. Mm, so
absolutely.
Just like that in a spiritual sense, it's loving to say there was a sacrifice made for the sinfulness of humanity. It was made by Christ, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him.
Amen.
So why do you think it is that people want to make the other doors? Why is that such a thing?
I think it's easier.
From a Gen Z perspective over here.
Everyone wants to, you talk about like our attention spans and everything is easier and everything's more convenient. Even if you look at the chart that Pastor Dave had before, where we're talking about these two different types of apologies.
That was some chart.
Someone, especially in today's day and age,
it's
looking
a good chart.
At those the contrition repentances, that's like hard because you have to like, it's not to the outside person. It's, you're like, oh, you're putting yourself down. Why would you ever do that? No, it's you're not putting yourself down. You're realizing that you're broken, and you're realizing you need to be saved, and you're working on it. So people in today's society don't want to, you know, it's follow your heart. What's best for you? You know, what's going to be easiest? What feels the best? And this
follow your heart, no matter what door it leads you into,
yeah.
right?
This small narrow path. Does
aren't you guys
not sound
doing
like
a study called "Don't Follow Your Heart"?
We just finished that up in the youth on? With the youths.
I thought I
we,
saw
our winter retreat was just taglines. What is it?
Shatter
self worship. Yeah.
So in 60 seconds, can one or both of you guys kind of summarize what is that book about? Don't Follow Your Heart. And yes, I am inserting another book
recommendation
into the podcast.
Spoggin,
and totally violating my convictions.
Swirling.
I will say I did ask our family ministry team to read it, and Johnny used it now as his as their study.
I only read one chapter because I spoke.
I'm not taking credit, but I am kind of taking credit.
I spoke. I spoke on one of the topics. But essentially, yeah, I don't know if I can give a good. Did you read it?
Which one?
The
Don't Follow Your Heart.
No.
I only read one chapter. I don't know if I'm qualified to give a good summary. Sounds like Bob read it, though.
Well, so the main theme of the book is basically the idea that self-worship is this new religion within the culture, and it is antithetical to the Christian worldview. So he goes through and gives 10 different examples of that. You know, like one is like OK Boomer. One is the Follow Your Heart. And there's a couple other chapters that focus on that. So the whole idea of we need to
wait. Just for fun,
I did hashtag live.
Maybe
your best
our
life.
Listeners don't know the phrase "Okay, Boomer." You know what does that mean, guys?
Okay.
When Gen Z
so,
says that,
right?
So
careful here.
I think that line I just gave deserves an okay.
We got a
boomer.
Lot of boomers.
So boomer the baby boomer generation.
They're great people, by the way.
Great people, awesome people.
Tim looked right at the camera. Wonderful people. You're wonderful people.
So
I just want you to be clear. I love y'all.
I love the
boomers. We love you. We're very, yeah. But a lot of people in this generation, and then they use the Karen kind of the same way.
We got two.
If your name is
glossary.
Karen, I love you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting ourselves in trouble here. Keep going.
Hey, you asked.
Gonna be lots of comments about this.
So if someone says something that's like, and it doesn't even have to be someone who's a baby boomer. It could be someone who's like Tim could tell me to do something, and it sounds super old fashioned, super like, oh my gosh, we're still like abiding by this. Like you'd say, okay, boomer. Like
got it.
Like yeah. Like if Tim was like, hold the door. Like I agree with this, but if say Tim's like, you should hold the door for that person. Okay, boomer. Like you know, I would, but there's some people who might think that's very old fashioned. and then it's a okay boomer, like, if that makes sense.
Well,
I think I understand.
The heart behind it is basically it's a dismissive comment to say you really don't know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So it can go both ways. Like, I don't know if the okay zoomer is a thing too, but that's
what's a zoomer?
Well, that's like the Gen Z zoom opposite, right?
2020.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like you guys don't really know what you're doing, right? Like you don't know what you're talking about.
That's I think we need a chart. Yeah. One side is okay.
there is. We need a boomer zoomer chart.
One side is okay zoomer. We'll just kind of like filter it through.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like ageism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That type of thing. Generational divide or separation, depending on the word you want to use.
It's weird that like Gen Z has this sort of, they love respect and they don't want to judge and they want to show, you know, love and care for everybody. But then they have stuff like that that's like super dismissive and like, not very kind to the generation above.
Gen Z is...
It seems like a walking contradiction.
It's a very much, we're very loving and we're very accepting unless we
to people,
agree.
Yeah, to people and who think the same way as us. Yeah. And then it's like...
Then it's out the window.
Oh.
So the thing is, though, that's true of most generations.
Right.
which is what's ironic.
We're just
every
more
generation
about
thinks
it.
It's new. There's nothing new under the sun.
We're just annoying about it.
Right? I think we did a whole series on... Solomon had something to say about that. There's nothing new under the sun.
Talking about my generation.
There you go. Yeah. It's a time to be born and a time to die.
I kind of interrupted your don't follow your heart summary with
well,
that.
Well, the last thing I was going to say is I think the main thesis in his book is to say that self-worship is a new religion, and he spends the whole introduction making that case. And what we need to become is heretics against that form of religion. And so the whole book is kind of showing, like, here's the lie, here's the opposite. How do I really follow Jesus and shatter this self-worship religion?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So a question for you guys. You were all listening to Luke chapter 13 today. Give me one thing that stuck out to you about the chapter today.
You go first.
I really liked the end where you went through the three, dig around, fertilize, and give it time.
Come on, man.
And then you're like, is this going to be the year that we... dedicate to spiritual growth? And then I was sitting next to Corey and we kind of just looked at each other because ironically in December, him and I and our other friend were like really adamant, we're going to give this year to Jesus. We're going to give it to God. We're just going to, you know, hold each other accountable. We're just going to, you know, talk to each other weekly basis, get together either on the phone or in person and really, you know, just talk and see how we're doing and stuff like that. And we've seen crazy things like crazy growth in all three of our lives since we started doing that. So I just thought that was really ironic, but cool at the same time that you went through
it's
that.
It's really cool.
So it sort of complemented what the Spirit had already sown into your heart.
And perfectly.
And, shout out to Corey, too.
Digging around, fertilizing, giving it time. And that's kind of how we've been doing our thing. And we've seen it working very, very crazily in all three
that's
of our
awesome.
Lives.
That's awesome, man. So, by the way, can we give Corey a collective moo?
You know, he doesn't like
he doesn't like the mooing.
He'll do it because it's funny, but
okay.
Like
what does he like?
Just stare
at him.
if you really want to get him annoyed, go up to him and just start talking about manifesting things.
With crystals like, and all that.
I manifested this.
The toboggan just took a weird turn right here. So.
I'll say you did this a little bit differently at the 10:45, the way you did at the 9 towards the end, where you're just like, you guys like board games?
Yeah.
And everyone's shouting out different board games. My favorite's Rummikub, by the way.
Okay.
I'm a big Rummikub guy. It was in kind of the corner.
Wait, Rummikub?
Sometimes the 9 o'clock
or
the 10:45.
tomato.
Very different personalities. Don't lose your thought. So when I ask for audience interaction at the 9, I only got two or three answers. There was a Scrabble person, and then there was some other game. And I'm like, maybe this question doesn't work. Maybe this is too serious. So I scared myself, and I shied away from like asking the audience what their favorite board game was.
I really
like
Don't quench
what you
the
did,
spirit, Pastor Dave.
Because
I
was like,
go for it.
Apparently I did.
I wasn't able to go to the run-through because I was in the bleachers at Yankee Stadium. Sorry about that.
Booing Aaron Judge?
No, I was not booing him. Ben, stop it.
Or were you mooing him?
Well, anyway. So I'm like, where is he going with this? Where is he going with the board games? And then I start to get it because, like, you know, when the board game's done, the pieces go back in the box and the box is shut. And then you say, you know, one day you're going to be in a box in front of a church and that box is going to get shut. And I didn't get it for a second. And then I go, oh, and I'm just like, dang. And that really hit hard. And I was like, wow, that's from being a really good analogy, and B, just it's true. You don't know. And we don't know when that box is going to get shut either. To make use of the time that we have, I think I have a quote from you in here somewhere, if I can read my own handwriting. What are we going to do with the time that God's been giving to us? Is giving to us with the however long or short amount of time, ultimately short time that we have. That's what really stuck out to me.
Right. It's a great reminder because the end comes suddenly, whether it's a sudden end on our part or, like, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the second coming of Christ. Like, either way, we're going to meet him.
Yeah.
And we need to be ready for that moment. And that takes some intentionality. So that was the challenge.
We don't want to be the ones gnashing our teeth.
No, we don't. Now, there's kind of a debate about this gnashing of teeth thing. So some people think it's like pain, but most of the time when that word is used in the Bible, it refers to anger. So like when you gnash your teeth, you show your teeth. Like if you see an angry dog, like they're gnashing their teeth out of anger. So there is a rage against even God, even at the end. There's a gnashing from those who don't want to be with him. It's a sad picture. It's a yeah, like that.
Like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you do that again?
The word is used in Acts chapter 7. Tim just needs B-roll. The word is used in Acts chapter 7 where they gnash their teeth at when Stephen's getting stoned, and they're not in pain. They're angry. So anyway, yeah, there's consequences, and it's important for us to recognize, hey, let's seize the day. Let's live for God today. Let's pursue spiritual formation today. Let's make this the best year of spiritual formation, unprecedented year we've ever had.
Let's choose to make this year a year of unprecedented spiritual growth.
Amen. Let's do it.
Love it.
Boom.
Boomer. Boomer.
Okay, right. Boomer.
Okay. I don't think we got time for the bent over woman, Pastor Dave. We'll have to hold on to her for later on. Yeah. Unless you really felt...
She was loosed.
Unless you really wanted to come to speak about it.
No, that's fine. We can come back to that another time. We have talked a lot about deliverance and spiritual oppression matters. So
go check out your sermon.
There's a whole
on...
YouTube like show about, what was it called? Demons. We talk about demons or something like that. So
the one, the one we did. With,
that was a good episode.
It was very popular. We talked about demons. Yeah. Very popular in Asia.
That's my target audience. That's who I'm going for. So you're welcome, there you Asia. Go.
All right, so do you mind if we move on to the theology sprint? Next week, we're going to be starting with Stories with Jesus. We're doing the Parable of the Great Banquet.
I'm going to make that video this week.
But yeah, by the way, Tim, Parable of the Great Banquet, I'm looking to get some food on stage next week.
So. Why does it? Do you think I'm the one who can find you food? Is this,
what are we, well, no, I was actually thinking you're the prop guy. So
yeah, I am the, you, let me know. Maybe we can get like a butterball turkey up there or something.
That would be amazing. A frozen butterball turkey.
I'll see what I have. I might have some room in the stage design budget for Thanksgiving dinner.
All right. There we go. Parable of the Great Banquets. Kicking off Stories with Jesus.
Fake
Luke 14.
Food. Like, if you, don't you have fake food at your kids are little. I'm don't sure. they have like... play kitchen food, we can borrow it.
You know how many times I've almost slipped and killed myself because my kids had food on the plastic food.
Use
on
that
the floor.
Stuff. Yeah. I remember when our kids had play food, fake food. I remember we got Alex a bunch of play food and she was so excited about this pancake we got her because it had like a stick of butter on it. Good times, man.
Yeah. Did she try
kids
to eat
grow
it?
Fast.
Try to eat it?
No, she knew it was play food. Okay. It was remarkable.
Really quick before we get to the theology sprint, there's a really funny story. So, my fiance's mom one time pulled a prank on my fiance's dad. She got a fake tomato and put it in his lunch. And apparently, according to his secretary, he spent like 5 minutes trying to cut into the tomato and it kept rolling over the floor.
Wow.
He kept getting mad at the tomato and he didn't realize. So I don't think he watches this, but if you do... There you go.
So he had a plastic tomato on, and he just kept...
Apparently it looked so real, he kept trying to cut into it, and it keeps flying on the floor.
Mangled his sandwich trying to cut this plastic tomato.
It looks so real. That's an interesting prank.
Okay. All right, Theology Sprint. Who's giving it today?
I entrusted the sit-in producer, Caleb, with the theology. Caleb, can you speak?
Yes, I can.
Oh, what's
hey,
up, dude?
Okay, oh, there he is.
Look at that.
So, I did the classic ChatGPT.
No, I didn't say to tell them where I get it. No, I'm kidding. Everyone knows.
Nobody knows.
Every time you give me a paragraph long question, I know exactly.
Well, I ask it to word it down now. I'm like, I tell it, you're using too many words, man.
Yeah. So I did the basic. So this is for up for interpretation. So how do we reconcile the traditional understanding of hell as eternal punishment with the idea of a loving and merciful God?
ChatGPT loves to use the word reconcile.
Yeah. I could take a stab at it.
You want to take a stab?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah, the question is often put, how can a good and loving God send people to hell? And I think it's a good question. So let's answer it in a couple ways. So hell is necessary, number one, because we have sinned against an eternal God and there is eternal consequences for our sin because of the person that we sinned against. Number two, hell is necessary because it gives us a place to find ultimate justice. So there are people who never will repent of their sin and things will never be made right. And so it's necessary for the justice of God that hell be a place for people who refuse to come to him. This is a difficult doctrine. It's not something that we should like relish in or celebrate. It should bring tears to our eyes. We ought to be preaching the good news of the gospel for those who are headed in the wrong direction. But C.S. Lewis famously said, the doors of hell are locked actually from the inside. So people are rebelling against their creator. They don't want to be with God. They're gnashing their teeth in anger, even having died and being separated from him in that way. And you know, C.S. Lewis famously said, there are two kinds of people in the end. There are those who say to God, thy will be done. And there are those to whom God says, thy will be done. And so hell is a place where ultimately there's a division and there's a separation. It's taught in the scriptures. We uphold it. We believe a good and loving God is a just God and will bring about ultimate justice one day. Mm-hmm. What would you guys add to that?
Well, I that's a great theology sprint explanation. The only thing I would add to it is not just C.S. Lewis, but in Romans 1, where Paul is specifically talking about judgment and our sin, there is this kind of his creation exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and God gave this whole phrase of God gave them up. And I still remember back in seminary, my third year Greek class, a third semester Greek class, my professor was going through this, and he said this particular passage we went through Romans was saying there's an element of when it says God gave them up, at some point his patience, his forbearance has fallen away, and he's basically just giving us what we want, you know. So I think Paul is making the same argument. First, Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. God gave them up is used. God gave them up to a debased mind. God gave them up is the same idea that he's just basically giving them what their sinful hearts want because they have not repented and turned to him.
Right, which yep. seems utterly irrational, but that right. is actually what sin is. Sin yep. is not reasonable. Yep. It's a rebellion against our Creator. And we would implore people to trust Christ and repent and believe the gospel in order to escape such dire consequences. But for those who choose not to, there are warnings in the scriptures that you should heed.
Yeah, good.
Luke chapter 16 is coming up. Just for the audience's sake,
yes.
as we broke down the passage, we decided to take a little break during that week and do... a message. How would you describe the message that's going to come up on Mother's Day? A message centered around.
So, one of the main themes in Luke is Luke has a big focus on women. So, female characters within Luke. So, we're going to start with the stories, and then on Mother's Day, we'll do a special, the Women of Luke passage, and then the story about the rich man and Lazarus, which is where we'll look at hell more in depth. Will be on Memorial Day weekend. And there's three positions people talk about with hell, so we'll maybe get into those.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper
dive coming up. So we rearranged things, so hell will come a little later than we were expecting, but it's going to be a good series.
Hell will come.
That's true. Yeah, stay tuned.
All right. All right, last thing we need to do before we finish up here is do some announcements. So let's talk about what's coming up in the life of our church body. Did I miss something, Tim?
I don't know.
Tim,
no,
want to comment on hell?
Nothing.
No, I did not.
I got some thoughts on hell. I think that's important.
I did one of those things I was going to do one of those things where, you know, like, you act like you're going to say something, but you don't actually plan on it. And someone's like, are you going to say something? And I was like, no. That's one of those. So I apologize for that.
All right. So I can give the three announcements we had in the service today, unless there's something else.
That's what we got.
All right. Oh, perfect. All right. So the first one, yes. So there's a prayer room, Pastor Dave.
Prayer room.
By the way, I think the it's room 202 and 204, right? So we got to talk about that graphic there.
If you come anywhere near the prayer rooms, you'll find us. So pray together Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock. There's just one for men, one for women.
Wandering up to the second floor of the youth
It's 202
building.
And 204, but we'd love to have you pray with us. Don't have to come every week, but we'd love to have you pop in if you're feeling the need to pray at 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
Popper.
We're praying.
That's right. Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., it's popping.
Yep. Number two.
Over there. Let's see, what else? Ah, women of NBC.
Hey, this is
a great new study.
Speaking
of women, there we go.
Yeah, this Tuesday morning, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes study is beginning. We hope that you can make it. It's going to be a wonderful study. Tuesday mornings at NBC, Matthew chapter 5 starts this week. Hope you can join us.
Awesome. And then last but not least is Charter Day. I'll mention this. This Charter Day is a raucous time, I will say. There's just walls of people that are walking through the center of Basking Ridge.
Great lemonade.
It is. So you guys grew up here. What were your thoughts on Charter Day? Give us a little Charter Day shout out.
It's
Did you ever do the bouncy houses for Charter Day?
Charter Day was like where you went if you were in middle school and early high school.
It was like Disneyland for middle school.
Yeah. And then it kind of faded out when COVID happened, but I guess it's back now.
It's happening.
It's been back.
There's concerts. Yeah. There's food. There's ice cream. There's all the local businesses are open.
Jackson and Brandon did something at
the Hulines. Yeah.
That's right. They were
rocked the street.
They rocked the street. Anyway, so Charter Day, May 18th. Save the date. We're going to have a booth. We want to let people know that we're here. We care about Basking Ridge, where our church is located.
We're here and we care. NBC cares.
That's right.
Maybe NBC we should cares. Resurrect the NBC cares.
I've already done it.
There you go. We do need people to serve, though, so please, we're going to be looking for you to come and sign up and take like an hour slot here. You can go. You can say hi to people.
We're putting together a chart with slots.
There will be a time slot chart. There is a chart for that. So...
There's a chart for that. That's the name of the episode. May I plug something?
My new favorite
section. You can and can you sign off for us today?
Will there be a chart?
Okay.
I'm worn out right now.
All right. I'll do that. So, Caleb, there's a graphic for it. If you are the parent or if you're a high school boy that's listening, every Thursday at 7 o'clock in room 20, what's the room that we do the main conference room?
202.
In room 202, we'll also be doing it via Zoom or some sort of video call. Band of Brothers, it's a great place for Caleb can, I hope, attest to it. He was at the first ever episode.
Caleb, how'd you like that?
It was pretty banger.
I need a glossary.
I'm not comfortable with these banger words.
There's that Gen Z explainer.
We spent a lot of time. We're going to start going through a book, I think, where we spent a lot of time in prayer and just, you know, walking through life with each other as young men. feel free to come out.
What's the day and time?
Thursday, 7 o'clock, room 202, upstairs in the Youth and Family Ministry building. You won't miss us. There's a big window, and all these dudes are sitting at a table.
Much like you could just wander up on the second floor on Thursday nights and find the Band of Brothers.
You could, yeah. That's our
den. Lots of wandering here. Not all who wander are lost, though, Pastor Dave.
Love it.
I've heard that.
Tolkien told me.
There you go. All right. Tim, why don't you sign us off since you're not signing us on today?
Will do. So, thank you, everyone, for watching. For myself, my lovely brother, and our two hosts, Pastor Bob and Pastor Dave.
And Caleb.
Thank you for watching. Make sure, if you have not already, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit this video with a like. I challenge you all to not only choose to make this year a year of unprecedented spiritual growth, but share this episode with at least three people. Let's make it happen. Let's get those views and subscribers up.
Yucas Brothers, good to be with you guys today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I'm going to be mooing all day today.
I really enjoyed this. I'm excited to get back behind the screens over there soon, but I did enjoy this.
Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless. You.